Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you give us so many good things. In your word it says every good gift comes from above, and we thank you for that. We give you some of our gifts that you've given us. We give it back to you this morning to extend your kingdom and to help people in our community know you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Also, kids, if you're feeling a bit bored by your parents or just want a break, down the back is some kids' packs. They've got some really cool pictures, actually. I mean, I can't be down there because I've got to be up here, but if I wasn't, I'd be down there filling out one of those. They look pretty cool. So help yourselves. There might even be some other things down there as well. So have a look and see what you can find. All right. We're going to be looking at John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29 this morning. So that's John 20, 24 to 29, and it's entitled Jesus Appears to Thomas. All right, verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in his nails where, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it to my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And that's what we've got up here on our poster. All right, I'm going to start with a limerick. Bear with me. There once was a man, guy called Thomas, who initially missed the fulfillment of the promise. He had some doubt, he wasn't taken out, and the next week he came face to face with the promise. There you go. So Thomas, that's who we're talking about this morning. And as Brett said, so unfortunate, right? He's called Doubting Thomas. Like, he's not even here to defend himself now. And we're all like, oh, it's the Doubting Thomas guy. That one reaction in his life summed up for all time. Pretty stink, eh? But we'll just call him Thomas today, I reckon. So just before this passage, in John 20, verse 19, so Jesus appears to the disciples when they had locked themselves in the room. So that's what they were referring to. And they were really excited and overjoyed to see Jesus, and they were able to see his hands, his side. They were believed it was Jesus. They truly knew that they had seen Jesus. It was Jesus who was in front of them. But unfortunately for our friend Thomas, he missed the message in the group chat, maybe, about the catch-up, or perhaps he was busy with his family or his work, but certainly he wasn't there to see Jesus that first time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. Thomas had missed out. It's a bit of a bummer, right? He wasn't there for this big reveal, and I think that would have been pretty hard missing out. Or maybe some of the disciples had him on. Maybe the disciples, some of the disciples were jokers. We don't know, right? They might have been pretty funny guys. And they might have been like, "Hey, Thomas, we've seen Jesus." And he would have been like, "I don't believe you. You're always pulling jokes. I can't believe it this time." And so he was like, "Ugh, good one. I don't think so." And then he basically, I've paraphrased it obviously, but he was like, "Unless I see the nail marks in the hands and put my hands on the nail marks and see his side, I can't believe. I just can't believe unless I see it for myself." And I thought, it's like when someone says they've seen a movie or a pop star out and about in Wellington, right? It happens from time to time. Like someone recently, I think a couple of months ago, saw Ed Sheeran at Monsoon Poon, you know the restaurant near Courtney Place? He went there and had dinner there. But people were like, "Photos or it didn't happen." Everyone wants proof, right? As humans, we're like, "We weren't there, so you need to show us. We need to know for ourselves. We need physical proof." We rely so much on our senses to gain knowledge, to prove what we believe to be true, right? We use our sight, our smell, our mouth, we use our hands, we use our senses so much, probably more than we realize, right? as babies, they're always putting stuff in their mouths, they're trying to eat everything, they're touching everything with their sticky hands. Even as we get older, we know things to be true, right? Because we see them, or we hear them, or we feel them. Like, we know the grass is green, right? When it's been raining a lot, the grass is green because we see it. We know that dogs bark. We've got a new dog on our street, it barks a little bit, because we can hear it. I know these are very simple examples, but you get where I'm going, right? There are senses, we need proof. Humans like to have physical proof. So Thomas really is no different to us. And I thought, put yourself in his shoes. His friends witnessed something that he didn't, and he just wanted that physical proof. Jesus rising from the dead would have been a huge deal, and I think sometimes us in 2026, we kind of forget how crazy that would have been for them, right? When they saw him again alive, because we have the, we have the privilege to live in a post-resurrection world, so we know what happens, right? And we might kind of take that for granted sometimes. We know that chapter of the story. We know that Jesus died. He defeated death and rose again. He appeared to people, and then he ascended into heaven and took his place at the right hand of the Father. We know that stuff, right? We know it. And Jesus did try and pre-warn the disciples. We talked about that all the way back before Easter, didn't we? He tried to give them a heads up, and he tried to kind of give them the story or give them a glimpse of what was going to happen, and they just didn't quite get it. So this would have been a huge shock and a big moment for them. And they would have really been so excited. I think we all, imagine if we were there, we would have been so excited too, just like them. And then the next week later, so that first time that Jesus saw the disciples in the room, and then a week later, Jesus appears again, and for Thomas, he's there. Awesome, he made it this time. And I love in the moment, in this interaction between Thomas and Jesus, because Jesus, I don't think, is really trying to belittle Thomas. He doesn't say, oh, now, so you believe, okay. He gives Thomas the opportunity, if he wants to touch the wounds, he gives him the opportunity to use his senses to know the truth that it is Jesus. And Thomas, in this moment, what's the saying? Seeing is believing, right? Thomas doesn't actually end up having to touch Jesus to believe. He just needs to see. He just wants to have proof. He just wants to see it. And then Thomas does this amazing thing that scholars have described as this outrageous moment, because he was seen as this doubter, and then he makes this amazing confession. So he goes from like yay to hey. He says he's believing not only is Jesus alive, but then Thomas goes on to call him my Lord and my God. So that full belief from Thomas, he verbalizes exactly how he's thinking, that he thinks Jesus is alive, obviously, and obviously he's the Son of God and the Messiah. He fully believes in that moment and says it and verbalizes it in front of all of them, that Jesus is his Lord and his God. He has this full moment of belief. And then in verse 29, nearer the end of this passage, it says, Jesus says to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that brings it to us, really, doesn't it? We are here in 2026, April 2026, who can believe it? But we know the story, hey. We are fortunate to be able to read the Gospels that tell us about the ministry of Jesus, his death and miraculous resurrection. We are, in this verse 29, we are what Jesus is referring to. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. We have seen Jesus' impact on our lives, right? We know the impact of Jesus on our lives, and we've seen it in people around us. We've heard stories, but we actually haven't seen Jesus face to face like the disciples have. We don't get to see the wounds like Thomas did. We don't get to visualize and see the actual hands, nail prints in his hands or in his side. But Jesus is saying in this passage, blessed are we, I'm going to say, blessed are we because we believe despite it. Hey, despite our senses that we can't use in that moment, we still believe. And I reckon that's pretty cool when you really think about it. Hey, when we really take a moment to go, wow, we are those people. And Jesus says, blessed to us because we have believed without seeing. I think that's pretty awesome. Something that really stands out in this passage to me. The other thing that really stood out to me in this story that I wanted to kind of share with us this morning is obviously the appearance of Jesus to his disciples after he rose from the dead. So we know on the day that Jesus rose, the woman saw him at the tomb. Initially, they thought he was a gardener or someone else, but then they realized it was Jesus. The woman weren't the only people to see him, even though that's so powerful, right? That story in the Gospels of them meeting Jesus at the tomb is so powerful, so amazing. But he also appeared at least 12 other times to disciples and other groups, like we know the story of the men on the road to Emmaus, hey, the two guys that didn't recognize Jesus initially. So he appeared at least 12 times over the stretch of that next 40 days. And there were many witnesses to the fact that he'd been raised from the dead. And I think that's so important for us here and now today. Reading those stories and sharing those stories with people is so important because it proves a pivotal point of our faith. If Jesus had died, let's think about it this morning. If Jesus had died but hadn't been raised to life, what would that mean for us? It wouldn't prove, potentially, that he's the Son of God. He wouldn't have defeated sin and death. Would we be able to have new life in him now and into eternity? He perhaps would have just been remembered as a wise man and a great teacher. And 1 Corinthians 15:13 sums it up way better than I do because it's Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:13 puts it like this. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not yet been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Verse 16 says, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. It's pretty weighty, hey, pretty weighty. So this story of Thomas seeing Jesus is so important to us, I think, because it's another proof of the resurrection. Hey, it's important to us because we know, us in 2026, in the 21st century, we know we can believe without seeing, right? Because Jesus says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. It tells us that our faith is real and that Jesus is who he says he is. He told the disciples that he was going to die and raise from the dead. He's done what he said he would do, right? That's what he said he was going to do, and he did it. He did die, he took on our sin and shame, and he did raise from the dead. We can have faith because we are forgiven, made new, and we can share in the inheritance of Christ now, which is awesome, right? We can live in that now and for eternity because of Jesus' resurrection. That's why it's so important, right? Such a pivotal part of our faith in what Jesus did for us. But I think this morning, and the reason I think that I sort of kind of processed it this way is because I think it's really important sometimes to kind of take a moment and think about what we believe, hey? Because sometimes we know we believe, but sometimes it's good to kind of consider what we believe and how we know things to be true. It's valuable to consider our faith and how it shapes us. And I think this morning, it's okay to use doubt to help shape what we hold true. Like Thomas, right? He doubted, and I think that's okay. It's okay to doubt because it could take us on a journey of digging deeper and working out what we hold true and what we believe, hey. So doubt can be used in really healthy ways. And I read this quote this week that says, faith defines how we live out our lives in the Word and under the promises and empowering of God. Faith defines how we live out our lives in the Word and under the promises and empowering of God. Our faith defines us, and it defines how we live, right? Our faith underpins what we do. It is the current, I put here, it's the current that underpins our lives. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believed. Us. And so today, in light of the story, in light of Thomas, I'm just going to call him Thomas, in light of the story of Thomas and how he saw Jesus, I just want us to take some time now to think about its impact on us. And you'll see some questions here, and you might have heaps of other things that you think of that aren't up here, and that's great too. These are just sort of some starting thoughts or just something to spark off our thoughts this morning. So, something to think about. Maybe we could call them wondering questions. How did this story make you feel? How did it make you think of Thomas and also of your own life? Do you ever feel like Thomas? How did it make you think of what you believe in the resurrection or of Jesus? Has the story challenged you to believe in Jesus or encouraged you to continue to live courageously through faith in this world? Do you feel the blessing that Jesus speaks of in this story for us? We're going to have some background music to come on. Thanks, Chris and the awesome Cope team. And we're just going to ponder these questions for a few minutes. And any other questions or thoughts that have come into your mind as we've been looking at the story of Thomas, they might not be up there. You might have been thinking about completely different things that related to it. But let's take this time this morning, sort of dwell on some of these questions that we might have about what we believe, our faith, about Thomas, how it speaks to us this morning. God bless you.